May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I wonder what your typical Sunday is like. Do you have a typical Sunday? Hopefully, for all of us, a typical Sunday includes worship in church with other Christians. But perhaps we like to mark the whole day out as different and keep it as a Sabbath, a day of rest and refreshment, worship and prayer. I remember being very struck by some friends of mine who decided not to put their computer on Sundays and use the day instead to attend worship, to read and pray more, to go for walks, ring or write to friends, do some creative art or craft, and offer hospitality to others. Their Sundays had a very different feel from the rest of their working week, and they were truly precious to them. The concept of the Sabbath as a day of rest and worship comes, of course, from our Jewish heritage. The fourth of the Ten Commandments says, "Remember the Sabbath day and call it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." God has built the need for rest and refreshment into his creation. The Sabbath day for Jews, of course, begins on Friday night and continues through Saturday. For us, as Christians, the Lord's Day is Sunday, the first day of the week when we remember Jesus being raised from the dead. And many Christians over the centuries have kept the Lord's Day, Sunday, as a day of worship and rest from work. So what did it mean for the people of Israel to keep the Sabbath? How did Jesus view the Sabbath? And how might that impact us in our lives today? Well, as I just said, keeping the Sabbath holy is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. But it's important to realize that although it is a commandment, it is also a gift. The people were called to keep the Sabbath for their own well-being. It has been said, it's not so much that the Jews kept the Sabbath as that the Sabbath kept the Jews. It's not so much that the Jews kept the Sabbath as the Sabbath kept the Jews. The practice of the Sabbath marked them out. It kept them together as a people who worship God and cared for one another as a community. Understood rightly, keeping the Sabbath was to be a blessing, a source of both freedom and delight. And I'd like us to consider the freedom and the delight that we can find in the Sabbath this morning. First, freedom. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear of one of several stories of confrontation between Jesus and the religious authorities over keeping the Sabbath. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. She'd been bent over for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus heals her, he portrays it as a release from bondage, saying, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, she stands up straight for the first time in 18 years and praises God. What a sense of release and freedom she must have experienced. But the leader of the synagogue is indignant and very angry at what Jesus has done. Doesn't he realize that he is breaking the Sabbath rules? The woman should have come on one of the other 6 days to be healed. Then it is Jesus' turn to be angry as he points out that the synagogue ruler and others would be quite happy to look after their animals on the Sabbath, even when that includes some level of work and activity. They will untie their ox and their donkey to lead it to water to be refreshed. But they are unwilling to allow this woman to be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath. It seems that the synagogue ruler and others see the crippled woman as of less value than their own animals. Certainly, women were considered inferior to men. And perhaps the Jewish leaders also saw her disability as an indication of particular sinfulness. But Jesus treats her with dignity and affirms her as a daughter of Abraham. And when Jesus asks, "Ought not this daughter of Abraham to be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" he is putting it very strongly. The woman ought, must be set free. It is a necessity. It has to be done because Jesus came to release us from bondage, to set us free. The leader of the synagogue has not understood what the Sabbath is all about. He is concerned about detailed regulations about what can and cannot be done on the Sabbath, rather than appreciating it is about the gift of freedom which God offers us. And rest from work, especially for slaves and labourers, was a taste of freedom. As one commentator puts it, the Sabbath, the day God has given to Israel as a weekly release from the bondage of labour, was also a weekly foretaste of the rest which awaited the people of God in the kingdom, the final release from all bondage. Release from bondage is a central theme in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Israelites celebrated God releasing them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And in some passages of Scripture, they're told to keep the Sabbath holy as a reminder of their redemption from slavery in Egypt. As Christians, we celebrate the good news that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are freed from the bondage of sin and death. And there may be many things that we need to be freed from. Fears, compulsions, anxieties, wounds, negative and selfish attitudes. The Sabbath offers us the gift of freedom. Perhaps the friends I mentioned at the beginning were onto something. They switched off their computers on a Sunday. It was a little discipline, although it was not an easy thing to do, but it brought them a sense of freedom, the space and the time to give themselves more fully to God, to receive his grace, to be refreshed, and to be more generous towards others. Perhaps we could take on some little disciplines on a Sunday which will help us let go of some of those things which bind us or to which we are addicted in some way. This will help us to experience the freedom of God's grace, which is always available to us, but sometimes we're so burdened or distracted that we cannot receive it. And maybe if technology is one of those things that binds you in some way, perhaps you might like to use the prayer which I sent out with my email message this last week, which addresses this issue. The Sabbath offers us the gift of freedom. The Sabbath also offers us the gift of delight. The word delight is used several times in our reading from Isaiah. The Israelites are urged to call the Sabbath a delight and to delight in the Lord. They are promised God's guidance and light. As a community, they shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. It's a promise of well-being and flourishing. But the Israelites are not enjoying the delight of well-being because they are not keeping the Sabbath properly. For the prophet warns them, "You are pursuing your own interests on my holy day, serving your own interests and pursuing your own affairs." Now, this may be a rebuke for them working on the Sabbath rather than resting, but it may also be a rebuke to their selfishness and self-indulgence. Because the Sabbath is not just about me and my pleasure or me and my leisure. Sabbath rest is not simply about idleness or inactivity. It is orientated towards worship. And it is also about care for others and not simply about our own enjoyment. The prophet makes the point that to truly worship God, we need to have a concern for the needy and help the afflicted. Our worship of God cannot be separated from our care for our neighbour. Our freedom is tied up with their freedom. Our delight is tied up with their delight. Delighting in God is not just about me and God, but about our life together as a community. I think there are many things for us to ponder here as we approach thinking about Sunday and how we can make it a time of Sabbath rest, receiving God's gifts of freedom and delight. Certainly, rest, space, time, refreshment are all good things and essential in the busy activity of modern life. Many people in our world appreciate this and try to put spaces into their lives, sometimes called me time. As Christians, we too will recognize we need time and space in which to recover our energies. Sometimes this will mean time on our own, sometimes time with friends. It may include walking and hiking, sports, art and craft, taking delight in the gifts we've been given and the wonders of creation. But Sabbath rest is more than delighting in the gifts of life and making time to relax. And it's certainly not just about me time. It involves taking delight in God and caring for his people. Taking delight in God may include times of silence and prayer on our own. This is certainly essential for me in recovering and renewing my energies. But delighting in God also includes worship together, because we can't grow in our faith on our own. We need to commit ourselves to worshiping together Sunday by Sunday. This positive, life-giving discipline, coming together on a Sunday every week, may not be easy. It may cost us something. It can be very hard to maintain this discipline when so many of our friends and relatives do not attend church. Perhaps we may be invited to a social or a sporting event. We may have friends visiting for the weekend. It may be a lovely morning, and we may have lots of stuff to do in the garden. Are we willing at such times to hold on to the disciplined life of delight with God that includes worship with his people on a Sunday morning? Or do we sometimes allow church going on Sunday to be squeezed out by other things? We need to remind ourselves that such worship together helps build us up, to keep us as a people, like the Sabbath kept the Jews, to keep us and to enable us to flourish in relationship to God and one another. The delight, the flourishing, the well-being which God offers us is also tied up with the well-being of others. We need to keep our eyes truly open, to truly see one another and those around us. We mustn't be like the leader of the synagogue who couldn't really see the crippled woman and effectively dismissed her as of less value than one of her animals, one of his animals. The friends I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon made time on Sundays for communal worship, for reading and prayer, for hikes, creative activities, and rest. Their Sundays also included hospitality, especially welcoming those who were lonely or in need. I hope that we can all ponder how we can make our Sundays a day of refreshment, a day of worship and prayer, and a day of hospitality towards others. As we do this, may God bless us with his grace, and may we find freedom and delight. Amen.